through the host. Sorry for the few second delay there. Got a little too busy clicking around on the web. Anyway, welcome to the show again. Coins Plus, of course, sponsors True Wealth. True Wealth's been on the air a few days. We are a full service. That is Coins Plus, by the way. Coins Plus is your full service rare coin and precious metals broker dealer depository service. We specialize in wealth and capital preservation. That's helping you preserve and protect yourself in gold and silver based assets, precious metals, portfolios, experts, basically. We're always buying and selling all forms of gold and silver and coins. And folks, one thing that's really weird, people will buy from us and then they're like afraid to sell to us. They're afraid that we're going to judge them. I've had this a few times where people are like, well, I'm just afraid to sell back. I'm afraid you'll tell me I'm stupid or I should hold it or whatever. And it's like, no, it's your money, folks. We respect that. You do what you want, when you want, how you want. Okay. I mean, it's your financial basis. It's your financial personal life. We're not in the business. If you want guidance, we offer that. In fact, I've probably not done a very good job lately. I've had a few people send me their investment portfolios, and we've probably got to go through them and kind of brush them up a little bit and maybe get some things turned into precious metals for them or whatever, or numismatics, or it just depends on balance. Balance is really important in this industry, especially over the long haul. Balance is very important. What goes up must come down. The nice thing about precious metals is we're dealing with an asset that God has endorsed, ordained, and authorized from the very beginning. There's really nothing else like that. I mean, other than, you know, of course, real estate and, you know, real hard assets. But when it's kind of weird, when I think of real estate, I mean, the truth is that taxes are brutal. That's tough. And I also think of, you know, when you do get regimes and changes and things and that where they seize property. I mean, it's just in third world countries where they've gone full socialist, it has happened. Okay. And folks, you know what is baffling to me? Trump goes to London, right? And you have these protesters and they want to say it's all about Trump, right? It's not. It's about capitalism. These people are anti-capitalistic. I mean, what, you know, maybe something is wrong with my brain because I don't get it. What do they want? Free handouts? It's not fair. I mean, is that really what they believe? That it's not fair that somebody has more than them and they actually think that it's logical that if I go out and I earn something that they have a right to take it away from me because it's what, too much? I mean, is this really happening? Is this mindset of theft really, really taking hold in this nation? Unbelievable. I mean, it is... I don't get it, but the whole concept is it's theft. Capitalism is self-realization. Marxism or socialism is theft. Now, where did Marxism come from? You know, so we go back, and I'm not the greatest historian at all, but basically, when it came forward, and I don't have the dates in front of me, I don't have all that stuff. I've studied it, okay? It was during a time when there was severe oppression of the working man. Just according to history, it was tough, you know? You had the factory workers. You had filthy work conditions. You had no workers' rights, none at all. A boss, you know, that's the old... you know, notorious, you know, stereotypical boss man that, you know, would make you work on the edge of a catwalk with no, you know, nothing to tie you on. And if you fell off, he'd just call somebody to replace you. But It was also underpaid and overworked, and the proletariat and the rich, and you know, it really, truly was, you know, it was a time that it sort of was needed. You know, I mean, they needed to stand up, but people have taken this theory and they've kept it going. This theory of Marxism, it's ridiculous. It's you know, they call it historical determinism, right? It's on materialism, and basically you determine the outcome of other people's lives. It's wrong. It's suppression of individual rights. Any redistribution of property is a form of coercion. I mean, involuntarily. I think that there, you know, the Bible's very clear that there's always, you know, going to be a government. It's a system that God's put into play. It's a system that man requires. But we, you know, as a nation, America's very, very wealthy. But as I've discussed on the show over and over, we each hold about at least, at the very least, we each personally are responsible for about $1 million in debt. I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound very warm and fuzzy to me. It's kind of a problem, and it is a problem. It's a factual, legitimate problem. We each are responsible for well over $1 million in debt, frankly. That's just through one vehicle of our governments. That is a form of terrible coercion, is it not? You know, you get this anarchism. You know, anarchists argue that Marxist communism will inevitably lead to the coercion and state domination. I mean, you've got all these crazy groups out there, folks, out in London. That, I don't know if you know that 100,000 gathered against Trump, and, you know, he made the comment that he felt unwelcome. And I just, the thing that I don't get, and I apologize for hacking around on it too much, is I don't understand the concept of socialism. Now, I have listeners out there I know personally, okay, are struggling. You're not rich. You're a working man and working women, and you're really barely getting by. And then about the time you get a little bit of a head-to-head steam, then something happens, right? So I understand. It ain't easy, right? I mean, life's tough. Now, the answer to that is not socialism. The answer to that is appropriately functioning capitalism. And here's what I mean. If the government gets out of the way, prices will adjust accordingly. Prices of living, the cost of living, will literally come down. Okay? It's when they get involved and they play with pricing and they fix it and they tax and they do all these things to excess that you end up with these situations where, especially with Keynesian economics, where they're hyperinflating the currency all the time. I mean, folks, you think about it. When Elvis bought his mansion back in whatever it was, 1960s or whatever, it was like $100,000. You know, and now I think they say it's worth like $80 million or whatever it is. I don't know. But the point is, that's inflation, my friends. That is inflation. When we were up in Canada, in Victoria, there's a mansion you can go see. I've seen before, and the guy was a big lumber baron, you know, and he, I mean, it's impressive. There's no question. Of course, whenever you build something like that, no one ever lives in it again. It always ends up given over to the estates or whatever, or given over to the Catholic diocese or whatever, or whoever ends up with it, whatever organization. And they said that it cost the guy back in the mid-1800s $47,000 to build this mansion. This mansion now, and at the time it was on 250 acres. with horses and everything else. At the time, folks, $47,000 right now, I mean, it would be priceless. It would be, if it was livable, if someone lived in it and it had been kept up and they saw the acreage, I mean, it would be at least $100 million. That's inflation that is caused by Keynesian economics. Inflation in general is not natural. The cost of goods is not supposed to continuously go up. You're used to it because you live in America. I'm used to it. I'm used to, when I was a kid, being able to buy a great big honking candy bar. I know, because I lived in Eugene, Oregon for a while. In Eugene, as a kid, when I was, you know, like third, fourth grade, on a little bike, I'd run around and pick up pop cans and recycle them, pop cans and bottles, for a nickel. I mean, a nickel in the 70s, folks, that was some serious bucks. And then I'd go buy these huge candy bars for like 27 to 43 cents. These are these great big ones that are the size of a laptop computer, you know. And now these things are, you know, what are they, $7, $8? I don't know, $6, $5. I don't, they're enough, right? I mean, that, I don't care what I pick. If it's any kind of food, cereal. I remember one time I bought a box of Captain Crunch with my proceeds for 50 cents. I bought a box of Captain Crunch for 50 cents. You know, now what's a box of Captain Crunch? By the way, back then, the box of Captain Crunch was twice as big as the one now anyway. But the point is, now, what is it, $5, $6? You know, milk. I mean, I could do this. That, these are really dumb examples. But, I mean, just as, you know, I don't care if it's milk. I don't care if it's meat. You know, I don't care. How about the cost of vehicles? I mean, you know, you go from Henry Ford's $200, $250 car to, you know, to a Chevy in the 50s going for, you know, $1,495, and then you get into the 70s where they hit, you know, $2,500, then inflation takes off a little bit and they hit $4,000 and $5,000, and, you know, by the time it was the 90s and I was in, you know, Great Falls, I mean, you know, a Ford Taurus was $12,000, I think, or $10,000. No, it was more like $10,000. And now Ford Taurus is $30-some thousand. You know, that's inflation, folks. I mean, you go from, you know, sure, there's improvements in technology, but that becomes built in. It becomes nature, because as life changes, we adapt, and the cost of production reduces. That's just normalcy. That's just part of what we do. So enough of that. But the bottom line is, why would people think that socialism is so bright? Is such a great way to live? Do they really think that they're going to snatch? See, it's a short-term grab. That's not a long-term system. Socialism is a short-term grab. The implementation or lie of socialism, let's face it, Marxism, socialism, communism, where has it lasted? Where has it ever really lasted and worked? The answer is nowhere. You got Cuba. Everybody's dirt poor, and then you've got a little bit of royalty. I mean, I don't care where you go. Venezuela, complete bankruptcy, absolute devastation. You know, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. And there's 100,000 people greeting Trump to talk about what a terrible person he is, because he represents capitalism and he's just a capitalistic pig billionaire. And it's just something else, right? You get my point? You know, Marxist economics, you know, I don't know. It's just, it's not good. How about that? It takes away personal rights. It reduces it. They don't even count the fact that it reduces your incentive to even work. They overlook the natural desire of mankind to work, the natural drive. They overlook the natural indolence, or the natural, what's the word I'm looking for? Come on here. Just your natural instinct, your natural desire, what God made you to do, to go out and work and do and try hard. And that socialism takes that away. Okay. It you know, socialism creates passivity. They want you to be, they act that you're a slave of habit. that you don't mind persisting indefinitely in one course of action, just every day being a factory worker, right? Is that what you want to do? Just every day go to the same job and do the same thing, not think about it. Folks, if you're sitting in the same place years later, years, and you've never changed and you haven't been promoted, and you know, you either have to look at where you're at, or you've got to look at who you are. Or number three, maybe you're fine like that. But if it bothers you, if you want to move up and you want to move on, you got to go out and make it happen. It's just, it's part of life. And that, you know, that's the beautiful thing about capitalism. You don't have to. You can stay right where you're at. You can be content. And the nice thing about capitalism, there's enough money to go around. We create wealth as human beings. God made us that way. You can create wealth. I can create wealth. I will say that we are in a bizarre transitional stage with the internet. It's hard for me. I don't like it. I'm old school. I always did my business locally, and now we're finishing up. I mean, we went through years of, I had a marketing agency who had subcontracted to some kind of web developer to build us a website. And we went through years of unpleasantries, we'll put it. I was way too patient with the guy, you know, because I befriend people, and patience is a virtue. I think we all know about that, right? We're very familiar with what the Bible says about that. But at the same time, I've got something interesting here. The minute I said patience, I'm like, oh, I got to read this. Okay. So, there's a movie that I watched the other night. It's kind of sometimes I like motivational stuff, you know, and there's a movie, it was on Apple, a documentary. It's about basically achieving your goals. It's about using your brain. And folks, the bottom line is we have to visualize in our minds where we want to go, who we want to become, and what we want to be before we do it. Okay. I don't care if you get up in the morning, you think first, I'm getting out of bed. Then you get, you know, a shower. Everything you do, your brain does first. It just happens that way. It's the way we work. It's the imagination develops what you're going to do next. For some weird reason, we often tend to not allow ourselves to think big enough and strong enough and all that. Am I correct or am I correct, right? So you all know what I'm talking about. So true wealth. Yeah, we talk about true wealth is gold and silver, livestock, blah, blah, blah. And true wealth, you know, gold and silver comes from God and he creates it. And I talk about all that. But true wealth really is waking up every day and seeing life half full, you know, having a good life. I mean, really, that's true wealth. Let's face it, right? And everything that was created on earth, realize that everything that has been created on this earth by man was first dreamt up in their thinking, okay? And that's the hard part with some people is they'll literally stifle their own thinking. And I don't know if it starts when you're young, where you get shot down. I know there's people with certain personalities that don't learn how to think. They see obstructions. They see things in their way, and what's important in a lot of cases, you know, the difference between somebody who is successful and somebody who is not, we'll say not successful in their endeavors, is how they respond to adversity. It boils down to nothing more than that. When you run into people who are successful or really good employees, they don't give up, okay? I mean, I spent years in banking and working my way up in the banking environment, and oftentimes you're, you know, having to make calls or, you know, make something happen or find somebody or skip trace or, you know, get a loan to work or whatever it may be. And if you just took your first no as an answer, you'd be done. I mean, you'd just be done. That's it. Can't do it. But putting deals together is how you become successful. And I don't care what you're doing in life. If you've got your mind set on something, you need to see, and God will help you do this, but you need to see where you're going, not the barriers that come in your way. It is not an indication that you are living in God's will if everything goes smoothly. That is an absolute lie of deception. God disciplines us. He puts us through tough times. On the other hand, you also, you being all of us, depending on what you're doing, can and will also come under spiritual attack. And frankly, I think we've seen our share of that. I remember when I started the full-time show in the afternoons, I had a good friend of mine's, you know, wife working here, and he's a, you know, kind of a prominent individual, and I had started to have some really heavy stuff happening, you know, tough stuff. And she was like, "You're under spiritual attack." And I'm like, "No, I don't think so." She goes, "Look, all this stuff started the day you started that afternoon radio show, when I started to share it with Matt Shea and do the half and half. And you know, now Matt's Tuesday, Thursday, and I'm Monday, Wednesday, Friday. But that's when all this stuff's happened. And I'm telling you, since then, folks, we've had our share, you know. So, I mean, Satan don't like, how's that for good language? Satan don't like, sorry about that, but Satan doesn't like people out there encouraging, building up, directing, telling the truth, helping people become better people, giving you the strength and encouragement to overcome, you know, problems in your life, sins, whatever complications you may be facing. I mean, folks, none of us is better than the other. Every one of us is a human being. No matter what you're struggling with, okay? I mean, no matter what you're struggling with, no matter if you're, you know, if you got cancer. I know there's people out there that are struggling with cancer, and the system's broken. I mean, we've got, you know, what do? We pump you full of poison and hope it works, and you're miserable and sick, and I'm sorry for you. It's tough, right? It's just tough. It's not right. And, you know, and the system's broke, but what do? I understand. People are like, what else do I do? Well, you know, there's some holistic plans, but they're very difficult. We have one. My mom beat stage 4 melanoma. But it's very hard. It's an all-day, life-changing, food-changing, you know, it's tough. So, but the point is, whether it's that or it's an addiction or anger problems or, you know, people have all kinds of alcoholism, pornography, whatever it is, you know, I don't want to list every possible sin, but say, you know, we're all struggling. We all need help. We need God's support. We need unity. In the church, we need transparency and truthfulness, and we need to help one another. And you don't want to talk about things done in the dark, but at the same time, people have to be comfortable coming forward and reaching out for prayer. And that's the strength of the body of Christ. And we all need prayer. And I will say that this year we've had at our business with multiple employees, we've had a lot of family stuff, some crazy stuff. I mean, like too much. Okay. I mean, I've mentioned some of the stuff on the air with generic terms, and I don't name names, but I'll just tell you, if you are a prayer warrior, please pray for us. We need it. We've had a lot of big, weird challenges. I'll just say every family here this year has had some major, major challenges, really with health, with family, with children, with finances, with anxiety stuff, and, you know, even some addiction stuff, and so whatever. So if there's a prayer warrior out there, I don't do this much, but I'm just saying, you know, drop to your knees and please pray for us and our staff. there's no doubt, man. The devil is alive and well, and he wants nothing more than to shut us down, doesn't he? I mean, and you know, when God plants in our minds ideas and dreams and visions, and he'll give us the dream, you know, that's where it's like, you know, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Well, who gave you the desires of your heart? God. The only time you get burned is when you turn your back on him and you don't listen. And we go through hard times. I mean, it just, you know, I'm just, without going into a lot of detail, I'm just telling you, it's been an interesting year. And over a couple years, you know, even years back, I've had a manager of 15 years that was, you know, very, very good stealing. A lot of that, as I look back now, I realize that it's no excuse. But I will say that he married a gal who was terribly, terribly ungrateful and very bitter. And literally I think from the time he got married until the time he left, which was quite a while, that was like about 7 years. From that day on, I don't think anything good was ever said about any of us by her or him, because she was just a teardown and very negative, and you know, and he was a one trick pony. He was a one talent guy and phenomenal at what he did, and I paid him tremendously well, but he stole a lot, and I think that a lot of that was at the behest of his wife, believe it or not. And you know, from that point forward, then I had a ruptured appendix and so on and so forth, and my dad dies, and then, you know, other employees have had family deaths, kids going through all kinds of stuff. So I'm sorry. Sorry to dwell. Please pray for us. We're real people. We're kind of a family at Coins Plus. We're pretty united. We're pretty tight. And my attitude is like, if I can't be your friend, you don't work here if we're not friends. Bottom line, if we're not united in friendship and a bond of Christ for the most part, you know, I don't want you working here. That doesn't mean all but one employee. Well, we'll say we're all Christian. It's Christian owned and operated. We'll say all the employees are Christians, but one is not, you know, he's not a bad person. He's not walking in sin or anything, but it's just not the center of his life like it could or should be. But other than that, you know, so just cover us in prayer. I'm sorry I went off on that for so long. I think it's on my heart. I would love to see it. I'd love to feel the power. I just would love for these guys to just be able to, you know, have a lot of it lifted off, and in the financial difficulties, and you know, as times change, and we live in an ever-changing era, do we not? I mean, it is a very difficult. We live in a crazy time. You know, $900 million, Kylie Jenner's worth $900 million. Some young 27-year-old girl for what? I mean, I was trying to figure that out this morning. They said she's going to be the youngest billionaire ever. I'm like, for what? I still can't figure out what she did. I don't get it. I'm sorry, but I guess I'm not very good at. I don't understand her. I don't. Oh Lord, isn't it quite the deal? Let's actually get a little more professional here. How about we do that? Okay, here's what we're going to do. I've got a quote. So just remember, everything that's created by man on earth is first dreamt up in their thinking. Van Gogh said, and I may have misquoted this, he said, I create first by dreaming my thinking, then thinking my dream. I don't know. That's just his deal. Now listen to this. So there's this, you know, basically patience is... I've dealt with different people that won't stick with things. You guys know the job hoppers, the never contenters, the always got to movers. And I'll tell you what, guys, I don't know who's listening to the show, right? I really don't. But if your wife, oh man, marriage is so, who you're yoked with is so important. if your wife is not encouraging you to make the most out of whatever you got, I don't care if you shovel dog poop for a living, right? You do it for the Lord. And then God sees and God promotes. And that's a fact. I can tell you from my own life for sure, okay? It doesn't matter what you do. God promotes. God will see and he will honor. And if you do everything to his honor, he will lift you up. He will promote you. If you do everything to yourself, he will tear you down. Guys and girls, marriage, whatever you want, whichever side of the fence we're talking to. Guys, if your wife is not encouraging you every day to be the best that you can be at whatever you do all the time, then she is not edifying in the way that the Lord brings. And I'm sorry to say that, but she does. The Bible says to not only just to submit, but you've got to love one another. You know, you've got to build him up and keep him going and do not, you know, get into these. I mean, I see, you know, one of the issues where we run into stuff here, where I've run into it a number of times with employees I've had work here, is where their wife makes more than they do and she's more educated, and then the guy feels insecure, and, you know, that's not right, is it? No. In fact, college degrees, folks, right now, you talk about a crazy commodity, right? I mean, you don't need a degree to make money, bottom line. But I'll tell you what, they sure want you to think you do. And you don't. You do not need a degree to do well in life. You just don't. It's just, you rack up a ton of debt, a ton of it. And you go waste a lot of time getting brainwashed. And it's just not something that I, you know, that you have to have. But boy, you'd sure think you would. It's because our system has become so driven by debt. And I have seen this over and over again with families and marriages and whatnot. So you don't have to have a college degree to make money, but you will rack up debt. How do we end up with over $1 trillion in college debt? And they're like, oh, you got to have the degree. You got to have the degree. Folks, there's nothing. Yeah, whatever. I won't get too deep into that. But I'm just telling you, you don't need the degree to do what God sets you to do. Now, God may call you to get a degree. He may say, Kevin, you need a degree. And then I'm like, okay, Lord, I'll go get your degree. But if it's not specific, if it's like sociology or, well, I guess that kind of is, but psychology or history or political science or philosophy, these are empty degrees. These are the most empty degrees you can buy, get. And, you know, and I mean, you'll find one out of a million people that have them with a podcast or something that, you know, will impress somebody or whatever. But bottom line is, husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit to your husbands. Wives, edify your husbands. Husbands, edify your wives. What God's will is, first and foremost, is that wives are good wives, that they're good domesticators. Like it or not, call me everything in the book right now because it's politically incorrect to say it, but God wants you to be a good domesticate. I mean, he wants you to be good around the house. He wants you to be good at what you do. I mean, I understand people say not everybody can cook and not everybody can clean, but I don't buy that. I don't buy that at all. I mean, you can try. You can learn how, and you can learn how. And don't you think if, you know, I had a friend whose wife was, the house was a disaster, and they had a ton of kids, and I talk like they're gone. They're still in existence. Their kids have gone off the deep end now a little bit, but he had a little business, a little shop, and his wife would leave him with these kids all the time as she took off on these missions and all this, and this guy was, he's nice, but very naive. And her house was a disaster, just a disaster. I mean, and you'd have pizza boxes stacked to the ceiling because that's what they lived on, pizza. And that was their primary food. And, you know, and she never wanted to cook or clean. But and so what she'd do is act spiritually connected with the church. And, you know, my house is just not my priority. it's, you know, the kingdom of the Lord. No, you're called to be a good housewife and a good mom, first and foremost. Husbands, you're called to be a provider. You got to get out and provide. If you're sitting around on your tail and you're not working and your wife's out making the money and you're saying, well, but she makes enough money. We're just fine. We don't need the extra income. That's not what God calls you to do, bro. It's one thing, and if you're in that situation, you can't find a job and you feel tough about it, amen. But if you think that's cool, if you don't mind laying back, doing nothing all day long, you know, right? And the boss, I mean, no, you got to lead your home. You've got to be the head of the house. And and you know what the head of the house looks like? The head of the house looks like a superhero CEO. It doesn't look like a tyrannical, abusive, loudmouth king, okay? The head of the house, and women, submit to your husbands, but treat them like godly superhero CEOs of a corporation, even if they're not, okay? I mean, that's what it's all about. We need to walk that high road. We are children of the living God. We are his chosen ones. We are the elite. We are the elect. We are his children. We need to act as if we are children of the living God. In heaven, we are going to be royalty. We are going to live in absolute, eternal, permanent royalty. Heaven is 1,500 miles wide, long, and tall. Think about that. You, 1,500 miles, that's in layer after layer after, I mean, you know, can you imagine how many floors you could have in 1,500 miles? Most of you, the majority of you can't even comprehend it. But I can tell you that if you started walking today and visiting different areas and doing different things, and you didn't need food and you didn't need water and you didn't need shelter, I mean, you could literally walk that place for millions and millions of years and never see the same place twice. That's what's going to happen. But husbands, you need to lead your wives, and wives, lead your husbands. And, you know, husbands, go out. Whatever you do, do well. Do for the Lord. Do not. The worst thing of all is this whole concept that there's one more thing. One thing better. There's something better out there. The grass is greener. I just got to do something. You know, I always got to do something different, these people think. It's never good enough. They can't. They won't admit that they've mastered nothing. That they've dabbled in everything, but they've mastered nothing. But they'll never admit it. They'll tell you, oh, they've mastered this, or, you know, they'll go exercise for a while and do this or that, and they'll learn a little bit, but they never really master it. And it might be, you know, it could be music for a while, and it could be, you know, who knows what, I don't know, but, you know, video game, I don't know. But, you know, the point is, we are called to work as unto the Lord in everything we do, right? So patience. Here's a quote from Joel Brown. It's an author and a founder of Addicted to Success, a book, but and I've added my own kind of stuff into it. Patience is the most important commodity to have, right? Most people don't have patience because they don't have faith. If you think about that for a minute, it makes sense. Most people don't have patience because they don't have faith. They don't believe that it will happen or happen soon enough. So many employers are seeking that one person with the faithful patience and perseverance to allow themselves to succeed in due time. I repeat that. So many employers are seeking that one person with the faithful patience and perseverance to allow themselves to succeed in due time. That's just that. Perseverant diligence. They want that employee who puts his head down and he doesn't stop until he perfects and he keeps getting better. We live in a culture where people demand what they want immediately and end up dabbling in one thing after the next. Like I said, I mean, I've seen people do this. They go from one thing to the next. The problem is time goes by, your life passes. And I've heard every excuse and whatever, but we're called to be the best that we can be. And we want to maximize working under the Lord no matter what we do. So, you know, they want, it's like I said, we live in a culture where people demand what they want immediately. And as a result, they end up dabbling in one thing after the next. You end up giving up and missing out on the most amazing things that life has to offer by giving up on opportunities too soon. And it's sad, right? Because God gives us what? Dreams and then the opportunities. And taking the opportunity is how we please, is how we achieve our goal, right? So you end up giving up and missing out on the most amazing things that life has to offer by giving up on opportunities too soon. This current generation, the millennials-ish, but that's just spreading deeper and deeper, right, past it. The current generation walks away from opportunity in search of opportunity due to a lack of patience. We see this all the time, where they'll blow off one thing that really is an opportunity for another thing that's an opportunity. They're looking for a new app. They're looking for a special app, you know, an application for their phone or their laptop that's going to make their life seem perfect. It's foolishness. Look at where you are today. Where could you be in 5, 10, 15 years if you patiently, faithfully persevere at the opportunities you've already been given? I mean, think about that. You know, you take what you've got today and make the most out of it. Housewives, clean your house, become a perfectionist. The internet gives you endless opportunities, endless ways to become better at it. Become a better cook. Husbands, become better at your job. Learn what you do. Become smarter. Do something for the boss. Do something for the company. Do something to make yourself stand out, you know, and you don't want to be dumb and get yourself, you know, hung, whatever, but step over the line. But, you know, just always look out for the company. Let them know you're looking out. You get these people that are like, I don't want to tell them what I did because I don't want to be braggadocious or something. It's like the company wants to know what's going on. So you call in and you just say, hey, by the way, this came up today, this episode or this issue or this situation, and I handled it like this, and you just let them know. And then, you know, and also God will see and others will see and so on and so forth. But, you know, if you take the opportunity you have today and not, you know, I'm going to get a PhD and spend the next 12 years in college when you haven't even mastered whatever. But, I mean, you can take that same amount of time and money and go buy a vineyard or, you know, or a little business and build it up or get online or. You know, a lot of people are very self-centered. They don't want to help the company. They want to help themselves. And when we pour into ourselves, folks, which a lot of us do, see, that's the biggest problem. Most of us pour into ourselves, okay? So we want success. We want wealth, right? We want, and then what do? Then we keep it all to ourselves, okay? God doesn't like that. He'll give you tests. He'll give you little surges of opportunity. And then watch you as you blow the money or not share it as he expects. No doubt. No doubt that'll happen. So where would you be 10, 15, 20 years, whatever, down the road, if you faithfully persevere at the opportunity you've already been given? Then look at where you'll likely be with impatience and giving up, okay? Now, people say, well, I'm going to be somewhere else because I've got a new opportunity and I'm going to chase it. If your historical track record says that you walk away from challenge and you know, discipline, I guess, you'll do it. It's in your nature. You need to stay where God has you. You need to bloom where you're planted and grow where you're planted, because when you uproot yourself, if, you know, the soil that God put you in is the exact soil he probably wants you in a lot of cases. Now, and you say, oh, no, you don't know my boss. He's terrible. He's foul-mouthed. He says these terrible things. Well, I mean, you've heard him before. You know. How's he going to know about Christ? How are you going to lead him to Christ? Lifestyle evangelism is it. If they live their life that way, they're miserable and unhappy, and let them be. I mean, It's not your responsibility. Your responsibility is to be the best ambassador for Christ there is where you're at today. And I think it's important. I really do. That's just my opinion. So I'll finish this right up here. So, okay, so I said, if you look where you'd be 5, 10, 15 years if you patiently, faithfully persevere at the opportunity you've already been given. Then look at where you'll likely be with impatience and giving up. So many of the people who come to me for advice on obtaining success are sitting on the opportunities they already seek. They're just not letting themselves pursue it. Success builds on success. Impatience builds impatience. Today, master the opportunities you've been given today, and success will come to you. So I'm going to read that again. Success builds on success. And as long as I've been in business, success breeds success. Good people create good people, right? Bottom line, good attitudes create good attitudes. Bad attitudes create bad attitudes. You get people that just throw temper tantrums. They demand a promotion, or they demand leadership responsibility, or they demand authority. But they won't just put their head down and do what they need to do over enough time to build the confidence and gain the knowledge. And the Spirit of the Lord is to do that. And just being in, immersing yourself in a book or whatever, you're not going to ever learn any life skills. All you're going to get at that point is a bunch of book knowledge. And, you can become a philosopher or whatever. And, you know people who've got degrees in philosophy, I suppose. It doesn't go too far. So impatience. Success builds on success. Impatience builds impatience. Master the opportunities you've been given today, and success will come to you. There is no one thing. You hear that? There's no one thing that will ultimately determine your success, aka happiness, other than being successful in the opportunity you have today. You hear that? There's no one thing that will ultimately determine your success other than being successful in the opportunity you have today. Patient, faithful perseverance is what breeds success. I've seen it countless times. Success is a commitment, a mindset. It is independent of circumstances. Okay. Hey, you get the point. One thing I want to touch on real quick, couple. I do this a lot, but remember the Google, Yahoo, and Bing. People say when you go to Bing, it ends up at like Travelocity or something, or TripAdvisor. I don't know, whatever. That's fine. Yelp. Yelp's a mess. I mean, they want people that review like 80 million things to be risen to the top. We have like probably 25 or 30 positive reviews on Yelp and like two negatives that are just crazy. Like one lady said, our scales were fixed. We tried to explain one thing. Here's another thing, folks. There's a difference between a troy ounce and a regular ounce. Okay. A troy ounce, there are 12 troy ounces to a pound. There are 16 ounces to an avoirdupois pound, a regular pound, an English pound. People will say, I weighed this and it weighs 10 ounces and it's silver. It's a silver platter and it's got 10 ounces of silver in it and that's what it's worth. And we'll weigh it and we'll say, ma'am, here's really what it's worth. Number one, it's sterling silver, so it's not pure. So, it's about 90% pure, 925. Number two, a troy ounce is about 15% or 20% heavier, 15 actually heavier, than a regular ounce. So first of all, you weighed your platter, your silver platter, you said it's 10 ounces of silver. But really, it's 8.5 troy ounces, and it's about 90% pure. So you got 7.5 ounces of silver, and you thought you had 10. Now that's a big difference. That's 70. Now we're at 75%. And then we got to knock 10% off for profit. So now I'm down to 6.75. So she weighs it wrong. This happened here recently. This is what one of the Yelp reviews, not recently, it's been a couple of years, but it was just crazy. And it was just like, we couldn't explain it to her. But the part that makes it the worst is she huffed out of here with her stuff, went all over town, came back, and we didn't know that she had checked all around town. And folks, I'm going to be straight up with you. When people shop us, we win. That sounds maybe a little arrogant, but it's a fact. We pay the most. We want to be the fairest and the strongest and the most consistent, etc. But so she went out. This is an old story, and I'm sorry to dump it on you. But anyway, so she put some negative out because she misunderstood the whole situation. Went and checked around town, came back, did business with us. We didn't know. So that's the kind of thing. So, but she'd had a whole bunch of Yelp reviews, right? Like 20. And everybody she ever reviewed on Yelp, everybody, she just like one-starred and said everybody was just the biggest piece of dirt and garbage out there. So she just trashes everyone. And Yelp puts her way up at the top, and you get somebody who has four or five reviews, and they're all nice, and they put them at the bottom, and it's crazy. So our deal is you put out a review for us on Google, five-star, that you've done business or some kind of transaction with us. We give you a free silver dollar or silver round, whichever you prefer. You put three reviews out on the web, wherever, you know, Yelp or Google, Yahoo are big ones. And then Yelp or Bing. A lot of people search on Bing, wherever you can do it that's major. And then you just call and we'll verify. If you put one out, we'll do the silver round, silver dollar. If you put two out, we'll give you, you know, same two of the same. Two silver dollars or two silver rounds. If you put three out, that's three. One is one, three is two. I always wonder how people don't have time to do that because it helps us out. And it also helps them out because it puts a little bit of financial wherewithal in their pockets, right? Helps them out. It's a good thing. So it's what I call a win-win. So let's go do it. Let's just take the time to sit down and do it. You may have to create identities or whatever to do it. Or, you know, I mean, yeah, that's your business. That's how you do it. You get your identity. You may not have a Google identity or whatever, Gmail. People do this stuff. And, you know, there's people out there that have multiple identities. Like, you can have multiple personality disorder on the internet and it's okay. You just can't do it in real life. So that's one thing. There was something else I was going to talk about that I forgot. So how about that for good work? Good work, Kevin. Way to go. Way to kick it. So the point of the show today was that patience, perseverant patience, is the secret to success. You know, we had Trump at the NATO summit. America is, you know, no longer the world's piggy bank, according to him, which I kind of like. We've got Big Brother. Big Brother, folks, is now us, right? I mean, let's face it. Our social media has created this. It's mob behavior. We're watching mob behavior, just like this garbage in London. This is mob behavior. 100,000 people show up. Why? Social media. It's mob behavior, and we destroy those we don't agree with, who don't agree with us or our opinions. We know and are concerned about what everyone else is doing, which is kind of crazy to me. It's degraded our society. It creates collective action. It makes people operate in unison too much. The left is operating in an extreme Naziistic manner, folks. It's tough. When we are online, we need to be a better version of ourselves rather than a lower version of ourselves. Think when you're online, be a better version of yourself. Okay. Right now, I talked last week or earlier this week. Your money sits right now. Right now, money sits. Just hear that and understand. No matter where you're at, money sits. Okay. So, what are the odds of the stock market going up 50% or down 50%. Okay? The odds are, according to Doug Casey Research and some others, there's a 95% chance in the next year that the market will drop 50% and only a 5% chance that it will go up 25%. The chance that it will go up, it wasn't even 5%. It was 5% chance that it will go up 10%. It's a 0.2% or 0.12% chance, 1.2% chance that it'll go up like 12%, et cetera. So the odds of the stock market really roaring, I got the numbers wrong. But the one thing I did have right was there's a 95% chance of a 50% correction in the market in the next year. That's from very respected research organizations, okay? So what do you do? What you do is you buy metals. You get hard assets. One of our customers just dropped off a nice size check. You don't buy annuities. Folks, right now, it's hard because you're like, what do I do with my money? What do I do? And they're like, bankonyourself.com, you know, where we can take all your money and we'll shove it in an account, and it's just bankonyourself.com. And you're like, well, what does it do? It's bankonyourself.com. Well, you know, we take all your money and we put it in an account, and then you have all these insurance coverages because they don't tell you you're paying a bunch of insurance premiums and your money's getting sucked out. And they say you can borrow against, you can bankonyourself.com. What do you mean by that? Well, that way you can borrow money on your investment, your savings account. Oh, I can borrow my own money? Bankonyourself.com. Wait a minute, you're not answering my questions. It's like, well, no, you don't actually borrow your own money. You borrow our money and pay it back. So take care. God bless, guys. Bye-bye. I'm running late. Bye.